item, please, is item 219.
Amend Election Reform Code to rename as What's Open this? And Accountable Elections Program and reassign from Office of Neighborhood Involvement to a Commissioner's Office.
Commissioner Udaly. Oh, I'm just, sorry. I have, sorry.
I'm going to do half remarks, but yeah.
Okay, and yeah. I turn it over to Commissioner Fritz, then you, Daly. Sorry.
Oh, okay.
So this is about open and accountable elections. Open and accountable elections are obviously a foundation of our democracy. I want to thank Commissioners Udaly and Fritz for working together on this to make this change. This is a great example of collaboration. I think direct oversight by Commissioner Fritz will help ensure that our election program will get the attention it needs to ensure that it is successfully implemented. Commissioner Udaly.
Yes, thank you, Mayor. So I'm very supportive of Commissioner Fritz's efforts to decrease barriers for candidates from all walks of life to seek public service, and I actually look forward to utilizing open and accountable elections myself. It's been a pleasure to work with her office on this and also to seek inspiration from another office, Commissioner Saltzman, who pioneered the children's levy model as a unique way to run a program. When we inherited Open and Accountable along with the Office of Neighborhood Involvement, we faced a challenge of where the program could find a home where it wouldn't create a potential, even the potential of an appearance of conflict of interest if it was cited in a bureau that, for instance, was held by a commissioner that was using the program. And we finally realized, after trying to find a variety of homes, that it could move, like the children's levy is capable of doing. So thank you, Commissioner Saltzman. And now I'm going to turn it over to Commissioner Fritz.
Thank you, colleague. The purpose of this ordinance is to change who is responsible for oversight of the Open and Accountable Elections Program, which is particularly dear to my heart, and I have to take this opportunity to thank Mayor Hales and Commissioner Novick for voting for it as one of the last things that they did before they left office. That is indeed a legacy that will, I hope, bear fruit for empowerment of everybody to run for office. It's a coincidence, but a happy coincidence, that it happened to be the day when we had the discussion of Women's History Month and the need for more candidates of colour, candidates who are women or identify as women, candidates of all kinds, to be able to run without having anybody question where did you get your money from. So when we passed this in December of 2016, the auditor declined to have the program in her office, and we chose to put it in the Office of Neighbourhood Involvement. And I'm very happy that we are now revising that plan and have a good way to move forward. I turn it over to my Chief of Staff, Tim Crail, who with Christina Nieves was one of the architects of the program.
Well, if I can put a question on the table for Tim or whoever to answer. I guess, you know, on its surface, when you read this, it doesn't sound like it's removing conflict of interest. You're taking a program that's in a bureau, you know, which is at least an arm's-length relationship with a commissioner in charge, and you're giving it to a commissioner. And so explain to me how that's not creating...
We were just about to do that, sir.
Okay, I mean...
I will do so.
I mean, explain the perception issues and that this is making it, you know, less of an arm's-length relationship.
Yeah. My name is Tim Crail, Mayor, Commissioners. First, I just want to say I'm really glad I did not have to immediately follow the women presenters this morning. Michelle and Janine and Betsy were amazing, along with the others, but those are the ones I know best. And so having that little space removed, you know, is a nice opportunity to reset the bar. As it's already been stated, this was passed by council in December 2016. At the time, we had spent about a year putting the program together, working with the community, having public forums in the community to get input on what the program should look like. As a reminder, it's a grants program based on money that you raise. It's not like the previous system the city had, which was a system where, that was a grant system. This is a matching fund system. So you have to raise money to get additional funds based on what you were able to raise using the criteria set by the program. At the time, our desire was to place it in the auditor's office. The auditor, as an independent elected official, declined to have it in her office. And so we were looking at other options. We talked to the community. We looked at various options throughout the city. And at that time, Commissioner Fritz was in charge of the Office of Neighborhood Involvement, asked the then director if she was willing to take the program on. She said yes. And so that's what we passed at the time. It was not ideal, but it was what we could do at that time. In 2017, a new commissioner was put in charge of ONI, a new director was hired, and their priorities were different. And so we at the council asked the office or the city budget office to do an analysis of options and staffing needs for the program. That was completed in the fall. And again, they concluded the best place would be the auditor's office, but that was, again, not an option. We looked at other options. Working with Commissioner Daly's office, we determined that having a commissioner oversee the program as much arm's length as possible, knowing that there's still supervisory responsibility, is the direction we decided to go, since there were really no other options that presented themselves at this time. And believe me, we looked at pretty much every bureau in the city as, you know, could we put it in transportation? No, we didn't look at that one, but we looked at many others. So this ordinance moves it to a commissioner's office. And what we've done is, if you look at the last provision in the code, 2.16.190, it directs that the mayor will assign this program to a commissioner. And it further states that the mayor will only assign it to a commissioner who's not in the final 2 years of their term. We recognize that there is a potential conflict of interest, but by allowing it for a person to be running the program at the same time would be a greater conflict. And so this requires that a commissioner who is not facing re-election would be responsible for oversight of the program.
So in other words, it mandates that it'll change every 2 years.
Right.
Regardless of whether the commissioner in charge has declared.
Correct.
Correct.
For re-election. So, Commissioner Fritz, you're up in 2 years, so you're going to have this bureau till December?
Correct.
And then the mayor is going to reassign it to somebody who's not in the next election cycle.
That is the way the code is written, yes.
Okay. Commissioner Fish is now looking kind of aghast, and so it would be either positions two or three since they're not up next 2 years.
Our goal is to make this as independent as possible. We have been talking with human resources and others, and we are not going to design it the same way as the children's levy, in that these will not be staff representative positions. They will be civil service protected positions. Initially, we're starting with one, and then that person will be involved in creating the job description and hiring a second person. And so our goal at this point is for it to be a two-person operation. And it will be, we're still working with HR on what the job description is going to be and what the classification is going to be, but it will be civil service protected, so it will not be an at-will position in a commissioner's office.
And did you say it will be a two-person office? Is that
what? Yes.
Okay.
Yeah.
Tim, if it is likely to rotate to another office, how do you intend to engage the council in the hiring process?
I wasn't planning to engage you at all, Commissioner Fish, but if you would like to be, I would be happy to do so.
Well, this is a kind of a hybrid. This is not, as you say, this, what you've made clear is this is not the equivalent of us hiring our at-will City Hall staff. This is like hiring almost like a mini bureau that we know is going to be portable. In a sense, it's a little different than the children's levy, which throughout the entire time we've had it has been run out of one commissioner's office. And so he's had the primary role in selecting and overseeing things like staff and support. So
we would be happy to include any representatives from any of the council offices that want to be involved in the hiring process.
Yeah, I think that would be good. And good. Thank you.
I think that covers what I had to say. So if there's any questions, I'm happy to answer.
So I just have a comment, because I'm hearing exactly what Commissioner Saltzman is asking, and I, of course, had exactly the same questions about the relationship between this being in an elected's office where the elected themselves will be subject to that program. And I think we all agree that's not a perfect solution. And so I am hoping that one of two things happens in the long term. In the short term, I'm supporting this because the program has to go somewhere. I hope it goes to the auditor. And I know the auditor does not want it, but the auditor is really where this belongs in terms of independence and accountability. And I'm not saying that to in any way disrespect the auditor. I have heard her, and I know she does not want it, and we are not giving it to her today. But I hope that as this pilot program unfolds and the operation gains credibility, perhaps her resistance will be lowered in yes. years ahead. If that is not an option, then I think we should also start planning for an external independent operation that has nothing to do with the Portland City Council. But long term, I don't think it is a good solution or an accountable solution to have it be part of the political offices. That's too close.
I agree with you completely, Mayor. And my hope is that once we get the position hired and the admin rules written and the forms created and it's up and running, that it will be viewed as something that's not a great burden and will not be a great demand on, you know, any individual's time, and will be able to be at that point placed in a more appropriate home. I'm happy that we will be able to do the implementation and the hiring, because I think that, you know, we, as the original sponsors of it, we know what the goals are, and I believe we're in a place that we can get that up and running. And once it's up and running, I'm hopeful that somebody will step up at that point and say, I'm happy to take it on at this point because I can see what the level of work is.
Exactly. Commissioner Udaly?
I just wanted to add that we also explored citing the program at the county elections office, and they also were not interested, but that is a potential plan B. And I just want to say that our giving this program back to Commissioner Fritz's office is not a matter of my office or my bureau having different priorities. I had to have many conversations with my chief of staff about giving this up, because he's dedicated to this idea and to breaking down barriers of participation. But we just realized, given what we have on our plate, we didn't have, when we couldn't find a home, we really didn't have the capacity to move it forward. And we also realized that we could give it back to Commissioner Fritz, and it's her brainchild, and I'm excited to see her move forward with it.
Mayor, can I add a comment?
Mr. Fish.
So I think that this has been framed exactly right. Commissioner Fritz is, in essence, the champion for this program, and I have a lot of confidence in her and her office in launching it and doing the preparatory work for this to be a successful system. I also think that it behooves us to take another run at finding a neutral third party to administer it. I don't even want to think about the kinds of issues that could come up if it's being run out of a city hall office and a city commissioner has endorsed someone in a race, a staff member has endorsed someone in a race. There's issues that come up that political issues that create the appearance of tilting one way or another. I mean, there's a whole host of things, and I think it would behoove us to take another run at looking at a strictly neutral party to administer it. And you've already said that would be optimal. And I think it's encouraging that the mayor has said that he'll make another run at that. And I think that's wise policy.
So I guess I'm hearing everybody and agreeing it's a less than perfect solution, yes. But it may be a solution that works for some sort of interim.
Right.
I guess I want to add an amendment, though, that and I'd like the attorney to weigh in on this, but that any communications, because, you know, we're all colleagues and we mm-hmm. talk all the time, and so it's possible that the commissioner in charge of the open and accountable elections could be a very good friend of a commissioner who's up for election and may want to somehow have their views known to the commissioner in charge. So I would like to make any communications about the Open and Accountable Elections Act a ex parte communication among commissioners and subject to being declared. Is that possible? Legal?
I don't even know what you're asking me, Commissioner.
That you should not be discussing how you're running the office, or whoever's in charge of that office should have no discussions with the commissioner who is up for in the election cycle.
Well, that's at odds with what Commissioner Fish just said in terms of how we are going to hire the staff and stuff, and that it's going to be an all-council decision.
Well, that's true. It is, because I didn't hear that part.
And there will also be extensive follow-up conversations from staff telling people who may very well be colleagues that their filing is inadequate, or there's additional information that has to be provided, or that there's rules that have to be observed. So I'd hate to, I think it may be well-intentioned, Dan, but I think we're getting into an area where we'd be parsing out speech and communication. I think we've landed at a better place, frankly, which is this is the proper office to handle the establishment of the program and to get us to a point where the council can then take another run at finding a neutral third party to administer it. I think we're all in agreement on that, and I don't think we need an amendment to that effect.
And Dan, this is the 10th year I've worked with you. You know that I always have monthly meetings. I bring you up to date with everything that I'm doing. I share the same information with each of my colleagues. I don't anticipate this being any different for the next 9 months.
And I'm not pointing a finger at you, but I'm just saying this arrangement we're doing with a commissioner in charge running this, I mean, it's not going to be you after December. So it's just subject to, I think, discussions that perhaps ought not to occur without some standard of declaration.
By the way, all the communications other than oral communications would be subject to public records laws. So now we're talking about any conversation about how's the program going, do you have adequate staff, what's been your sense about its success, and I would hate to be the police on those kinds of questions. I leave it to the...
Not the police, just those that are subject to disclosure, is what I'm saying.
Commissioner Selschman, one...
Disclosure when?
And to whom?
Yeah.
Commissioner Selschman, one thing
I guess maybe upon challenge by anybody.
One thing we could do that might help allay your concerns is to bring the admin rules back to council for review before adopting any admin rules.
Yeah, that's the answer.
Because that's going to be sort of guiding how the program is implemented. Because once the program is implemented, you know, once the admin rules are written, that's going to guide how the program is going to be run.
Tim, that's a smart suggestion.
Well, we'd want to do that anyway.
Yeah,
yes.
It's a good idea.
Okay.
Any further questions before we
open
this up?
I'm really out on a limb here. I'm trying to craft something, so I will be fine.
Great. Thank you. Public testimony.
Yes, we have two people signed up.
Very good.
Marianne Schwab and Mary Seip.
Very good. 3 minutes. Name for the record, please.
I guess I outlived everybody again. My name's Mary Seip. Just a couple things that kind of jumped out at me about this that can cause me to kind of have some concerns and share some of Commissioner Saltzman's concerns and Mayor Wheeler's concerns. Sort of like this is a hot potato. Doesn't really fit in ONI, but the auditor's office, where it seems to be appropriate, doesn't want it. The county elections office doesn't want it. I find that a little concerning, you know. You can just say, I don't want it, and it doesn't fall under that bureau. That kind of bothers me. I think the whole idea of a third-party administrator is right on target. I completely agree with that. The other concern that I have is when you say short-term, moving forward with this and doing this on the short-term, and, if it's not the perfect solution, then let's fix it. I would suggest that if you're going to do it with that in mind, that you establish some time limit. Because if you don't, short-term becomes permanent long-term just by default. And I think you need to, maybe there's an amendment you can put in there or something, but I would just like to throw that out there for you to kind of be thinking about that because this is a really, really critical, important issue. And it just, kind of being treated like a hot potato concerns me, yeah. So that's all I have to say.
Thank you, Mary. Appreciate it very much. Good morning.
Good morning, Mayor and Commissioners. My name is Marianne Schwab, and I have been down this road along with Amanda Fritz. I went out and collected signatures. It does work. I like your new model. And what we didn't have back then was Facebook, tweeters, all of the media now. And not having that, I can speak for myself. I paid a total of $385 and collected well over 6,000 votes, came in third, second only to Mark Lehman, who is the one who spearheaded our Dignity Village. I also, one of the aides was Bonnie McKnight, who is still with your land use group here in the city. Another is Dr. Paul Leonard, who works in your Office of Neighborhood Involvement. And I followed very closely our last campaign when Commissioner Udaly was running and all the candidates. And at the time I ran, I had 6 weeks. My husband's brother-in-law and wife were in Portland, Oregon for the first time from Vienna, Austria, celebrating their 40th anniversary. In between all the community meetings, I carpooled with Tom Potter. So we went 2,000 miles around the state with her tourist book written in German, including your Oregon gardens, the Japanese gardens, all the way the Circle of Mount Hood, over to Bend. We had a marvelous time. We love Portland, as do our extended members. We've had other family members come as well. In addition, I was getting an elder out of a nursing home, had volunteers from a church come strip wallpaper that had been on since 71, hired nursing staff, and in between riding with Tom Potter all over the city. It's busy time. It was an exciting time. And what really excites me today is the high bar that was set by the young woman who spoke today. I have every hope for our city, and I want this done right. And as a retired high school secretary, this type of thing came under other tasks as assigned. I'm not going to tell you what some of those were, but I am a little concerned that a highly skilled, highly respected, competent city auditor is not wanting to take this on when we're going to have an independent, much like your school levy, or the children's levy, and much like your arts in the school, how all of this has been done. I really support and would like to see this eventually in the auditor's office. Thank you.
Thank you. Good morning.
Good morning. My name is...
It doesn't seem to be on yet. There you go.
Good morning.
Good morning.
Okay. There you go. You got it.
Good morning. My name is Lightning with Lightning Super Justice Watchdog. Again, on my position is that for the auditor not to take this, we might want to look at replacing the auditor. The auditor's office is the perfect choice for this. It's where this should be. And for the auditor to sidetrack this, I think is not doing her job in a professional manner. Before you interrupt me, Commissioner Fish, let me finish my statement. And again, it is my understanding that the mayor has the authority, to transfer this over to the auditor.
I do not.
Nope. It's in the charter.
Then at that point, you have the authority to make sure that this is going to be an independent process, not looked over by another commissioner, where we have heard that the range of conflicts of interest are going to be overlooking this at any and all times. And as a watchdog, following judicial watch and as you know, on everything that the Clinton Foundation put together, we're going to be watching this very close, every move that Commissioner Fritz makes. Now, I don't want to have to do that, to be honest, because I have a lot of respect for Commissioner Fritz and the job that she does and the way that she operates in a professional manner and the hours that she puts in on this job far beyond that most people would ever do. But you are putting me now in a position to have to do that as a watchdog, and I will do it. And if there is any communication that appears to be out of line and it is all public record, then we have to respond back to you. And I don't like to have to do that. That's why I like to have an auditor or somebody independent that is required not to have a conflict of interest, and I don't have to worry about it. But it appears, though, you want to just throw something out here without even a time frame to change it. Well, we might do it down the line. We might do it after 2 years. We'll see what we can do. Well, that doesn't tell the public much. That just says you might do something. Why don't you put something in writing that will make sure this is going to be changed within 12 months? About 2 years in writing, not just to another commissioner, but to an independent body, and to see if the auditor at this time might possibly consider doing this. Because I think from an auditor's position, to deny this, to go to be overlooked by the auditor, is not professional. I really believe that. And I'm more than glad to say that to the auditor. I agree with the auditor on many things, and I disagree. And we have discussions all the time about it. I absolutely disagree with the auditor on this. And I'm kind of almost mystified, to be honest, why she would not take this and overlook it. Thank you.
Thank you.
Mayor, can I just make a comment?
Commissioner Fish, yes.
Thank you, ladies. It does seem a little fair that the auditor is not here to respond. I will just say, while I have enormous respect for Lightning and his commentary when he comes before us, we recently had a vote on a ballot measure which enshrined in our charter the auditor's independence. Auditor Hull Caballero is an independent auditor. While she is one of the six elected officials that leads the city, the charter makes very clear that she is an independent actor. And in the conversations, Mayor, that I was privy to, I never heard her say anything that would qualify for the criticism that she sought to sidetrack this particular program, or that she was in some way unprofessional. I do recall her saying that she felt she had.
Hold the opinion, Mr. Fish.
Just making my comment.
Democracy. Please.
I did hear her on a number of occasions opine.
Don't speak on my behalf.
I'm not speaking on your behalf. I did hear her on a number of occasions say that she had capacity issues. The mayor has made a commitment to take another run at this, and I think that's wise. But let us not forget that the independent auditor is and has her own office. The charter gives her the power to make these decisions on her own, and I don't think it's fruitful for us to question her motives.
Yeah, Commissioner Fish, I want to make it very clear. I agree wholeheartedly. You know, my late father used to say, if you don't get something you want, it's not the other person's fault. It's yours for not having a good sales pitch. And so I have heard what the auditor has said. She's made a very good argument, and I think the strategy that we're laying out here by way of getting the office stood up, getting it fully operational, making sure that if there are any glitches, we have those glitches ironed out and fully addressed, I think that will give others confidence to take it on as an independent enterprise. So I see this as a necessary first step, given the reality that the county won't take it and the auditor won't take it. And short of a great sales pitch, we can't make them. Commissioner Saltzman.
You know, I have a lot of respect for my colleagues here and Commissioner Fritz and you daily and the hard work Tim's done, but I can't support this in its present form. It just doesn't look right. And you know, I guess I need to see something. You know, we talked a lot about the children's levy. Well, the children's levy has a 5-person oversight committee that oversees the decisions of the children's levy. So unless there's something, some sort of a check and balance, and I'm just not seeing any checks and balances, we are only human. We are subject to the opinions of our colleagues and the office, and how as to how it relates to the offices we're in charge of. You know, there's got to be a better way. You know, I would find the Office of Management and Finance to be, you know, which houses many miscellaneous little programs.
Who does that report to?
It reports to somebody, but it's a big bureau. It has a lot of multi-functions. So I'm not trying to make this a personal attack on my colleague at all. I'm just saying this is an imperfect solution that I cannot support in this present.
Commissioner Fritz, I would like to make a motion to delete the emergency clause.
Second.
So we have a motion and a second on the table. I want to give Tim an opportunity to respond to Commissioner Saltzman.
Yeah, I just wanted to take this opportunity quickly to mention that this does, in fact, have a commission I didn't bring it up because it was part of the original proposal, but it does have a commission that will provide oversight to the program. So it's not just the commissioner providing oversight. It's a commission. We're happy to engage all the offices and how we select that. I can't remember if it's specific in the code on how it's selected, but it certainly will not be a handpicked group that is going to represent Commissioner Fritz's views.
I'm sure it'll be very clear in the administrative rules that you bring forward.
So, I don't know if that helps you or not. But
no,
I appreciate that, but
it's not overcoming. What I sense is the fundamental friction point in putting this type of a program, which a lot of citizens are going to be looking at, or residents of Portland are going to be looking at, for success or failure. And it seems like we're sort of putting it in the column of high risk. And again, this is no disrespect to Commissioner Fritz at all. It's the structure of having the open and accountable elections office under the purview, direct purview, of a commissioner in charge. That
there is no alternative, Commissioner.
There is alternatives. You know, we hired a retired Supreme Court justice to run our COAB. Why not reach out to some retired judge to be the administrator of this program?
We're not going to settle this issue today. I call a vote on the motion.
I would like to make a comment. I've been quietly waiting. I just want to echo some of the sentiments of my colleagues and reaffirm to the public, we cannot compel an independent office such as the auditor or the Multnomah County Elections Office to take a program that we decide to create. And it's perfectly reasonable that the auditor or the elections office doesn't want to take this on. I do believe that, you know, once we do stand up the office and kind of perform a proof of concept, that they may be more willing to take it on. And I do believe it's a very worthwhile undertaking. And as far as a bureau not wanting it, that is simply because of the perception or possibility of actual conflict of interest with a mayor or a commissioner overseeing a bureau that is home to this program. So it's not ideal. I'm not opposed to putting some kind of timeline on it. No? Okay, well, I'm going to withdraw that suggestion then, because I am happy to defer to my colleague, Commissioner Fritz, who has devoted an extraordinary amount of time to this. And my office also devoted an extraordinary amount of time to this, and including seeking input from the budget office, which was helpful and ultimately led to our decision.
Very good. So is there anything else before I call the question on the amendment? Call the roll on the amendment, please.
Fritz? So we'll take the emergency clause off, so we'll vote on it next week. Commissioner Udaly, I appreciate what you just said. Certainly reflecting that it's going to be a large amount of work, that the Office of Neighborhood Involvement already has a large amount of work, so it's not a matter of you're not prioritizing it. It's more a matter of the workload that you have taken on. And so I respect that very much. And I think that's what my Chief of Staff meant to say. Commissioner Saltzman, you didn't vote for this in the first place. It's very clear that you don't support the program. I respond to Mr. Lightning. He's not here now. My life is an open book. If there's any secrets I have, I never have them anymore, because I strive for transparency, for accountability, and watch my every move on this. I'd be happy to give you an absolute verbatim transcript of every conversation I have on it, Commissioner Saltzman, if you'd like that. I don't think that actually gets us anywhere, because unless we want to do a charter change that says that the voters assign this to the auditor, she does have the right to decide what she takes and what she doesn't take, and that's what we're dealing with right now. Anywhere else in the city, it's going to be under a commissioner in charge, whether it's the mayor within the Office of Management and Finance. Frankly, I don't think we want to bury $1.2 million worth of taxpayers' money deep within a bureau, or potentially not even separate from the city either, with no commissioner oversight on how that $1.2 million, whether it's allocated as the program requires or not. And so I take great responsibility and pride in this program, and I appreciate the mayor being willing to assign it to me. At least I hope you will immediately after the vote next week. Aye.
Fish.
Aye.
Saltzman.
Well, I want to respond to what Commissioner Fritz just said a minute ago, which I was going to say anyway. But, I did oppose this concept when it came to a vote in City Council in 2016, I believe. But my no vote today is not based on that. You know, I lost that vote. So the program is here. And my job here is to make sure that this program is set up to run as smoothly as possible. And as I expressed earlier, I'm just not comfortable with this arrangement. And as I said, Commissioner Fritz, it has nothing to do with you. It has to do with the structural dynamic of having a commissioner in charge overseeing open and accountable elections. Commissioner in charges are human. We're all human. We talk to our colleagues. We're subject to their opinions and influence. And I think that is improper. So, and I've heard no discussion today of a solution of proposing a charter amendment that would assign this to the auditor.
I just said that.
No, I know, but we did. Yeah, you just discussed it in your vote. We didn't discuss it earlier, and so I think not touching that elephant in the room, we're sort of setting this up for failure in the minds of our residents of our city. I have no doubt you'll run the program absolutely clear and transparently, but if you ask, 9 out of 10 people on the street, should open and accountable elections be under the purview of a commissioner in charge? I'm pretty confident 9 out of 10 people are going to say that gives me pause. So, with all due respect, I am going to vote no.
You, Daly?
This has just been a really lively day.
It's only 10 of the 1st.
It's getting started.
Women's History Month. It's all that yeah. did it to us.
Well, I mean, once again, as someone of very limited means who pulled off an unlikely win for Portland City Council, I am very supportive of any effort to make these seats more accessible to more diverse candidates, and I look forward to using this program myself. Aye.
Wheeler.
So I want to respect what Commissioner Saltzman has said. And I appreciate the liveliness of this discussion because it needs to be said, and I'm glad it's been said publicly. And I know there are a lot of people in the community, Marianne and others, who've worked really, really hard over a period of many years to bring this program to the city of Portland. And I think we've now illustrated very clearly and very transparently the potential conflicts that exist having this be in the office of a sitting commissioner. And therefore, this is the point where I would also call on the community of people who support this program to work with us and encourage not only us, but also community organizations that have the capacity and the independence and the respect of the community to be the ultimate home for this effort. I do trust Commissioner Fritz to stand this program up, and I feel very comfortable that she will be able to do it in an open and transparent manner, if for no other reason than that the public will be looking at this one with a microscope every single step of the way. But I do not want it in a commissioner's office for a prolonged period of time. I would prefer it to be in the auditor's office, and barring that, I would prefer it to be in an independent community institution that operates it, that collects the data, that reports back to the public in an open and transparent manner. That's where this ultimately belongs. Dan is absolutely right about that in terms of where this needs to go over the long term. I vote aye. The amendment is adopted. Unless there's any further comment on the part of my colleagues, this is the first reading of a non-emergency ordinance. It moves to second reading as amended. Thank you, Tim, for your presentation.